Hello?
Okay.
Yeah, I think
why am I still here ringing?
You still hear ringing?
Yeah. Okay, there, it stopped. Okay.
You're doing wonderfully here.
All I did was I tried to Skype quit unexpectedly. Thank you.
Okay, shall we try this again?
Yeah.
I'm just going to start it from the top because we were only like 30 seconds in when...
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Friday, December 18th, 2015. It's just before 4 UTC as we're recording this. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Beau is with us again. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
And our main agenda for today, we're going to talk about the Fed rate increase, and we're going to talk about election 2016, and then we'll have a lightning round with a few other things. But you know, before that, as usual, we'll talk about a couple other little things. First of all, I want to mention that this is our second time attempting to record this show, but this time it's Yvonne having the technical difficulties,
I'm not me. I'm the one with the technical difficulties all of a sudden, and I tried to improve the Wi-Fi reception and like the stuff around my house, and I've managed to have in the last 24 hours are, you know, mysterious issues with my internet connectivity.
Yeah, excellent. Good job, Yvonne. I praise you.
Yeah, we've got skills are fantastic apparently now.
We've got issues with that kind of stuff in our house too. Like I know, like, yeah, we've got a two-floor house, right? And the Wi-Fi does a good job of getting to one floor, but getting it everywhere in the house is a little challenging. And I know I probably just need to buy an extender kind of thing, and I just haven't gotten around to it yet, but it's a pain in the ass because it's like sometimes things seem to be working and then sometimes they're not, and there's this one corner of our network that we use for our audio visual stuff, you know, like our Apple TV and stuff in the living room, is actually connected through a power line network because it has better connectivity than the wireless in that part of the house. But, you know, things just always, every once in a while, things just go screwy and don't work right. And, you know, then, you know, we're rebooting things and usually it gets better. Sometimes it doesn't. And like, sometimes my daughter comes up and is like, you know, the internet sucks right now. I can't get anything to work. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't know what to tell you. Just wait a few hours. It'll be better.
I mean, our internet was decent. I was just trying. It's just occasionally it dropped out.
Yeah.
In some places. So I was just trying to do something just to fix that coverage gap. And when it's working, it is working.
Right.
Okay. The coverage gap is no longer there, but I've had like some mysterious issues.
Yeah, and I know that there are a couple of new companies that are trying to like do these sort of automated mesh networky things where you don't have to mess with all the configuration. You just like they automatically have multiple base stations connect to each other and make the network in the best way possible. And
that's what I've got.
And do like all these utilities to help you place them in the right place and all this
right.
kind of stuff.
Right, I got that. All that stuff. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yep. And yep. But like
with the utility to show me where to put it and that all I've gotten is fucking pain and misery.
Which brand did you use?
I've used Linksys.
Okay. Yeah, there's one new one I that was getting a lot of press recently for being, you know, brain dead simple to set up, but also had a whole bunch of like really creepy things because in addition to the regular utilities, and most routers have this stuff, by the way, they're just the UIs are so impossible to use, nobody cares, but has, you know, things to like monitor what everybody on your house is looking at on the internet and ways to set up controls so that like, you know, you can shut down certain devices for certain hours and all kinds of stuff like that, which I understand some potential usefulness for some of that stuff, but it's at the same time, it's kind of creepy. So, you know, I just want, I want the part of it that just says, you know, give me, I don't want to think about the way radio waves propagate in my house and what might be blocking what and all this kind of stuff. I just want to like pay a reasonable price for the devices, throw them up in a few places in my house and have everything fucking work.
I agree with you 110 fucking percent. And it's just, unfortunately, it's just not that way.
Yeah. And so like, yeah, I know like, if I'm near my wireless router, everything works fine. If we're basically on the on the same floor as it, basically things work fine. You start going to the other floor and it gets iffy. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't and blah, blah, blah. And I know all the factors that can potentially be affecting that, but I don't want to think about those things. You know, and okay, at some point, probably in the next couple months, I'll buy a damn extender and see if I can make it better. But
that's what I tried to do. Look at what I got. I've got is like pain and misery right now.
Right, and I've tried that kind of thing in the past. I've gotten like, and it's never worked really well. You know?
Yeah.
It's like I bought this thing and it's supposed to make it better and. Maybe it made it better. I can't tell. And maybe it actually made it worse. These things suck.
Agreed.
This is a place where I am ready for some company to come in and disrupt this and do this right and make it dead simple and make it just fucking work.
I am with you 100%. I'm just so frustrated with this shit. It's just annoying. Anyway,
the other thing I was going to mention... And this is actually going to end up slightly technology related, but I had my son. I just got back about an hour and a half ago from my son's second of two holiday programs. He's in kindergarten. He's at two different schools, so there were two different programs. And my wife could not make it to either of these presentations because of her work schedule. And so I'm, of course, and I would anyway, but I'm going to record video of all the little songs they sing and all that kind of stuff, right? And I brought my real camera, and it was interesting because I started to set up with my real camera to take the pictures and take the video and all this kind of stuff. And then, like, in the couple minutes before things started, I realized... that I was actually getting, I think I was getting a better shot out of my iPhone 6S Plus than I was out of my dedicated camera. And it's because like there were challenging lighting conditions or whatever. And I probably could get my real camera to do the right thing, but I'd have to mess around with the settings.
With all the settings and buttons, right.
And then I realized also, what did I want to do with this? As soon as it was done, I want to send the damn videos to my wife, right? And if I did it on my regular camera, I'd have to like get the, I'd have to download the pictures and then send it to her later, right? You know, and so I like just a couple minutes before it started, I basically said, screw this. I've got my nice camera here with me, but I think I can actually get better results quicker, faster, and easier with my phone and get it to my wife faster. And so I did it on my phone, and I had no regrets, you know. And I realized there's some things, you know, that, and we've talked about this a few times before, there's some things that your dedicated cameras are going to be better at.
I'm gonna tell you one right now. Look, I went to my son's Christmas event and I was sitting a little bit further away, and I'm sorry, if I would have brought my
camera, you didn't have enough zoom.
Yeah,
and that's one of the things.
And I had the camera right there, and I was like, "Nah, I'm not gonna take it." And I'm like, "Really, you fucking idiot!"
Well, and that's the thing. Both of these times, I was very close to the stage, so that wasn't an issue. And I mean, that is exactly one thing. Like my physical camera has a 50 times zoom on the thing.
Yeah.
Like, so I can sit in the back and still get a close up shot of my son if I wanted to. Right.
And I wound up having to sit somewhere near the back because there weren't enough seats up front. And I'm like, I wanted my mom to be able to sit up closer, and I could not fucking get a good zoom. It's just, The picture's horrible, and I'm just really fucking pissed off.
Yeah, no, I get you there. And so, I mean, I think probably I did the right thing by having both with me and then making a call.
Like, yes. Because and that would have been, like, what I should have done. I should have just... My camera, I have a very nice, actually... camera from my employer now, gave me one, and it has a very nice optical zoom, and it's very compact. It's even waterproof, the damn thing. It's a really nifty camera, and you know, all I had to do is fucking put it in my pocket, and I was about to as I was leaving, and I was like, I don't need it.
Right.
And then I was like,
well, I remember, like,
fucking moron. I'm like,
I remember also, like, a few years ago, I remember thinking, my physical camera, I forget what happened to it. It broke in some way. And I was like, you know, I can use my phone for all of this stuff. I'm okay. Look, it's got a decent, it's okay. And then, you know, but then I slowly came to realize the quality of what I was taking was crap, like, comparatively. I mean, I still got some good pictures, but a lot of the stuff just wasn't of the same quality, and I came to regret later that I had gone however months I went without a real camera before replacing it, because what I got during that time frame wasn't as good. But that was several years ago. Things have improved dramatically since then in terms of the phone cameras. The 6S Plus is dramatically better even than the 6S. And is certainly than the 6 or the 5, you know, in terms of the iPhone cameras. And they've got a bunch of smarts behind it, too, doing all kinds of dynamic things. And, you know, yeah, if I'm going to be artistic, I want full control. I want a real camera. And like you said, in situations where you need zoom, there's only so much that phone is going to be able to get you. And a real camera is going to be better in those situations. But there's so many situations now where the phone camera does pretty damn good. And like I said, in this situation I was in, the phone was giving me better pictures than my real camera was. And at least, like I said, without me spending 10 minutes trying to figure out all the right settings.
Right, just for
the
light. Automatically. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, I had the real camera on auto. And the phone, of course, is on auto, and the phone was giving me better results. And so I'm like, well, fuck this. I'm not going to mess with this thing. Also, the camera was heavy and I was going to be holding it up in front of my face for 15 minutes or whatever to take the video. It's easier to do with the camera, and I wasn't bringing a tripod to the damn thing or anything. And so it's just amazing how far, you know, phone camera technology has gone. And I just found myself noting in that situation, okay, I've got both of them with me and I'm picking the damn phone. This says something. I'm not sure exactly what it says, but it says something. Anyway.
Oh, something. Anyway. Well, we already beat the cameras. Hello?
Okay.
Am I breaking up?
You are breaking up again.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, you're a wonderful
network.
Let's
take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break, and we'll come back, and Yvonne will educate us on the Fed rate increase. We'll be back after this.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, we're back, and during the break, Yvonne had a few additional technical difficulties, but we're here for good now, hopefully. So, and we're talking about the Federal Reserve, and we're talking about interest rates, and they raised the rates after like a decade or something, and so Yvonne, just explain what the fuck is going on with all this for all of us who aren't the financial stuff.
The Fed, as they have, they've called it, they've been extremely, or so they call, accommodating, and basically they've had the rate that is like, it's the last resort rate that banks can borrow at the Fed, pegged at close to zero.
So this is like if a bank needs extra cash short term from the Federal Reserve, they can get it at this interest rate. This is not a rate that you or me or anybody else would have access to.
Correct.
It's a very limited, restricted thing.
So because, you know, even above that, I mean, if you looked at the prime rate in the U.S. was around 3%. So, I mean, banks usually could borrow probably, maybe not at zero, but close to that. And they could loan out money at 3%. Okay, all right. It's what it goes.
But one question, the Fed rate, they were saying it, they've raised it to 0.25% from quote unquote near zero, but they never actually specified the number. What was near zero? Was it like 0.01 or something?
It was range bound. There wasn't a specific number. Okay. All right.
That's weird.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Okay. So look, so anyway, but here's the thing about this, right? The reason why they said that they were going to raise interest rates is because the economy has been improving, and so therefore we want to have tools in order to manage the economy, blah, 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 and, you know, in case inflation, blah, blah, blah. But these are the things that we've got right now, which are anomalous compared to, like, say, the period over the last 30 years. Number one, inflation has been almost non-existent, okay? Now, you've seen prices for certain specific assets or things go up and certain things. But, overall, okay, inflation right now, the last couple of years has been stuck. It just it just hasn't been a lot. Wages are not going up. A lot of things are not going up. Energy prices have crashed, okay? And the dollar is very strong, okay, which also lowers the price of, like, raw materials and inputs and a lot of things into the U.S., okay? So the Fed is trying to raise rates in order to – I think they said their reasoning, it seems like, is to have levers in case something happens in the future so they could drop them back again as a lever. But I even don't – to me, it feels more like they raise rates for political pressure more than anything else. Because the Swiss right now have negative interest rates.
Yeah, actual negative rates.
Yes.
Not just effective. It's actually negative.
Actual negative rates. There's a couple of countries in Europe that if you have a mortgage, there are mortgages with negative interest rates on them that basically the bank is paying you.
So,
you to borrow the money.
So not just Fed bank interest rates, like they're actual, you could actually get a loan with a negative interest rate.
Correct.
I want one of those.
I would love one of those as well. Okay. But I don't have that one. Okay. So they have been like right now believing that, you know, you've got this issue where the Fed accumulated all of assets that are under books that they are slowly like reducing. But the reality is this: right now, raising interest rates to me is a little bit nutty for a number of reasons. Number one being that even as they raised rates today, there is such demand for U.S. treasuries that the actual interest rates on short-term interest rates went up. 10-year bond yields went down because they can control short-term rates, but they can't control the long-term rates. Those are really more controlled by the market. And what the market's saying is like, great, you raised interest rates. Well, guess what? We all want, you know, hey, there's all these countries still with negative interest rates. Fuck this shit. We want more of yours. And we'd rather take 2.24%, you know, that a 10-year yields than negative interest as Switzerland has on their bonds. I mean, which I guess makes sense. You know, if you think about it, of course you're going to be buying them up. So, I don't know. This is a very...
Now, I've heard a few people make comments, and I don't know jack about this, so I'm asking for you to explain. But a few people make comments around, you know, a bunch of European countries tried to do this, to raise their rates above the near zero or zero, yes, or negative they were at.
Yep.
And they have all regretted it because they ended up causing negative effects to the economy and ended up having to back down again.
Yes, that is actually correct.
Is there a reason that we don't expect that to be the result here?
I don't think that there's any credible reason to think that it would be otherwise different, to be honest with you. I don't see it. I am like, honestly, I'm a little bit befuddled by the whole entire Fed's attitude towards this, given the evidence. You've got a scenario where the economy, it's growing, and it's growing faster than those European countries, which is, I guess, what the Fed is taking comfort is that, yes, those European countries did raise rates. However, their economies were actually weaker than the U.S. economy has been. So the Fed's argument is, well, the U.S. economy is in a stronger position. We think it can withstand a little bit of a higher rate. But let
me ask this. Even the language, it can withstand this.
Right.
If it's a negative effect to begin with, what's the argument for it? Like, what's the trade-off here that we're saying it's worth taking this in?
Listen, the only argument that I've seen, there's two arguments that people can make. Number one's about inflation, and I'm like, that argument's really not holding a lot of water. They're fearing other inflation because the economy has been growing. The other one is, like I said, simply because if you stay with rates at zero, it really reduces the maneuverability of the Fed in the future in terms of being able to react to something by providing further liquidity in the market. That's the argument.
But if doing this causes the thing that you're going to need to react to, wouldn't you have been better off just not doing it in the first place?
That's what I thought, too.
And also, aren't there a lot of people arguing that, hey, Switzerland proved you can go negative, so you don't actually have this problem of we can't go below zero.
I agree with you too.
And the Fed themselves have shown over the last few years they've used a whole lot of other things besides the interest rate to manipulate things over the last few years.
Quantitative easing by buying bonds and other things. Yes, absolutely. I am really. I mean, I. There is very little. Other than orthodoxy, of people that have been around the Fed a long time, I haven't seen a really good argument to be raising rates at this point. Okay, and one of the other things that if you look at historically, they're talking about rates are rates before 1970 were at around these levels historically. I actually looked back at history. There were like articles reading that back the last 200 years, except for a period between 1970 and the 2000s, for the most part, rates were very close to this.
Okay.
Rates usually were very low. And we had all of a sudden this burst of like inflation and other higher rates in this period between the late 60s, early 70s to like the early 2000s, which honestly where people are saying is, you know what? The anomaly is not this. The anomaly was really the period between 1970 and 2000 and the 2000s, where rates were a lot higher. And those rates happened because of inflation. Now, what things drove inflation, like, aggressive economic growth in different areas, productivity changes, other things and so forth, commodity prices soaring, that kind of stuff. But all of a sudden, when you're in an environment where technology is replacing labor at an accelerated rate, where wage pressures are down, where commodity prices are crashing, those are the biggest inputs that you have. And then you've got this other environment where everybody is freaked out about keeping money in other countries and all they want are dollars, basically driving the dollar further up and driving our rates down. Then I'm like, okay, I'm still struggling to understand what's the explanation to raise rates at this point. And the economy, it's not like it's overheating. The economy is growing, yes. But it's not an out-of-control freight train of growth at this point. I don't know what a freight grain would be, but anyway.
So what do you think is there going to be an effect of this that's noticeable in the next 6 months to a year? I mean,
because
are
unless,
we like Are we begging for a recession right coming into the election or something?
No. Because the thing is that because of how much pressure there is downward on other rates because of other reasons, I think that the one concern that the Treasury is having is the fact that people are having is, the Fed pushed up rates today, but in reality, the markets didn't raise rates. And so what people are fearing is like now they're a little bit of control, whether the Fed has enough control over rates, like right now with the tools that they're using, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't think that even them raising this rate a full point, they only did like a quarter point, and they said that they're going to increase it again. It's not having an actual effect on actual market rates. So it's like, at this point, it's a non-event. Now, the question is whether people are going to get freaked out because it is a non-event that it's something to be concerned.
Right, because people expect it to do something and then it does nothing. And then they're like, oh my God, it did nothing. And what does this mean?
That's exactly right. Yep. So, I don't know. Right now the markets are just all over the place about it. They just don't know what to do. But like I said, look, the key thing is right now that even though the Fed increased the rates, it's had very little effect on actual real lending rates, other than some short term rates like the prime rate and other things. So, the prime rate was 3, I think it was. I think that with this, I think it had peaked at, during.
Okay, I think we lost Yvonne. I'm going to take a quick moment.
The person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable. Please leave a message after the beep.
Yvonne, your connection sucks.
Hello.
And we have Yvonne back.
What the fuck was I last saying?
You were just wrapping up on interest rates.
Okay. All right. Good. Thank God. Okay. Well, anyway.
So the bottom line, and then we'll take a break and talk about the election, is that you think this is a big... First of all, you're like, why the hell would they do this? This makes no sense. But in the end, you think it's going to make no difference to anything.
Right.
Okay, well, that's a good summary. So let's take a break, and we'll come back and we'll talk about election 2016. Back after this.
Ready for the test, Dracula? I'm ready, Frankenstein. Then let us begin.
Creepy Classic celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
Okay, we are back after yet more Yvonne technical difficulties. He's having a really great fucking day today.
Usually Sam is the one with technical difficulties. I'm not the one with technical difficulties, and today it's just the field day of them.
Yeah, anyway, so we're going to talk about election 2016 again. Look, it's going to be every fucking week for the next year, so just, get used to it.
Look, now here's one tidbit. So aside from you, he mentioned earlier, something about, Putin decided to endorse Trump, and Trump said that he could work with him.
That was in one of the bits that wasn't recorded because of your crazy...
Yeah, because of my technical thing. Difficulties, yes. So here's a very interesting tidbit that I saw. Nate Silver wrote an article this week. He was talking about analysis on the press coverage, okay, yes. And polls, okay. And I don't know if you got to read this, but you know, basically he blamed all of us for this whole thing. Look, with that, we have been over covering Trump, and he's right. Look,
well, no, look here. I read his article, and he's been making the same case for months. This is not new.
He's not wrong. Look,
no, look,
but there are a lot of, listen, let me just state this. I went today through my Twitter feed. Okay.
Trump,
what
Trump,
the hell story?
Trump, absolutely.
And why is that? Because, well, honestly, because we find it more entertaining than any of the other shit that anybody else is saying. I mean, that's reality.
Well, yeah.
I mean, look, Trump.
This is the bottom line. I mean, like, no, are you actually, what is the press going to do? Not cover him?
Well,
I mean, or even cover him only in proportion to what he is on the polls. I mean, he is he's a master of this. He's doing the things that are interesting.
Here's the thing, right? So Trump is a guy that is a master of selling his brand.
Yes.
His name.
Yes.
That's been his hallmark. That's how he's made his money. He's not really doing fucking business deals. His business deals for a lot of times sucked. He was a master of fucking, like, you know, of hype. As a matter of fact, I remember that even in the late 80s and 90s, you know, there was an article, I think it was the cover of Fortune or Forbes or one of those. It basically said, Trump, what's behind the hype?
Right.
I mean, that was the cover article. And this was like 20 plus years ago. This is what the man is. He's a human hype machine. Okay. And, you know.
So, and he's good at it.
Yeah, and he's good at it. Yes.
I mean, he knows exactly what he has to do to make sure that everybody's talking about him
in
the news and everywhere else. And yeah, and you can't, like, yes, you can say, okay, the press should realize that he's not a serious candidate and therefore not talk about him as much. If you remember, Huffington Post for a while was like, hey, we're going to put him in the entertainment section because he's not a serious candidate. And, you know, they just recently undid that because they were like, look, we got to face reality here. He's the goddamn front runner. But no, you can't see, we don't want a world where the press is like, okay, you're at 32% in the polls, so you are going to get exactly 32% of the coverage.
No, but here's the reality. The reality is that we are overcovering him. It's all we're talking about.
We haven't talked about it. Yes, he sucked the air out of the room for everybody else, and he has for months.
Yes.
And yes, that's part of the reason he stays high in the polls is because he's the one everybody's fucking talking about.
But at the same time, what Nate pointed out is that, look, we have given this guy like triple bonus coverage.
Oh, yeah.
All right? And the reality is that his numbers still are stuck where they are stuck at. The favorability ratings, how many people want to vote for him, et cetera, and so forth. And it's like, you know, that it's the gap between what, you know, the coverage that he's getting versus the polls that he's getting is huge, okay? Because typically, people that get this much coverage, okay, typically, not in all cases, damn it, they're doing a hell of a lot better in the polls. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Trump isn't. Okay. Now, you know, it's, but we're doing it. Okay. I mean, honestly, here's the reality. We've said this before. We can't get enough of it.
Well, and here's the thing, though. I mean, Nate Silver tried to sort of end us up with like, and when this coverage stops, he's going to fall. I'm like, you got to be kidding me, right? It's not going to stop.
People fatigue of everything. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I mean, I believe that there will be a moment where we are going to fatigue of all this Trump coverage.
Maybe about 4 years into the first Trump administration.
Oh, God. Okay, there is not going to be a first Trump administration, Mr. Abelsmay. Okay, all right. I mean, this is ludicrous. Okay, all right. To think that I'm sorry. How, you know, everybody fatigues of it. Look, I got to be honest with you. people were fatiguing of it last month, which is why his polls were dropping a lot. What he did was, is that he very deftly took that damn terrorist attack and just amped it up. Okay, yep. You know, he went, you know, and went dog shit nuts on all his proposals. Let's pull out all the xenophobia. Let's pull out all the crazy proposals. Let's throw them on the table. Let me pull out every crazy card. So I'm just sucking the air, sucking the wind out of everybody. There is just nobody's going to be talking other than the crazy shit I just said. And, you know, that's what happened.
Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, like, you know, understanding, first of all, all the caveats, like I've tweeted some stuff several times, just reiterating, hey, you, look, we're still not at the point where any of the eventual nominees was leading in the polls in the last three election cycles.
Correct.
You know, you like to do the parallel to Dean. Like, Dean was like 20 or 30 points ahead at this point in the cycle. Yep. In 2004.
Yep.
So, you know, look, lots can change really quickly.
Yes, it does.
However, you know, what we haven't seen yet is anybody figuring out how to actually make something stick against this man. That or do something that really raises themselves up. And the only person who's even close at the moment is goddamn Cruz. You know, Cruz has been sort of slowly but surely gathering things up, and he's been increasing in the polls. But he's still a long way away. Now, that's not to say that, you know, we've got like, what, 40 days left until the Iowa caucuses. A lot can happen in those 40 days. He could catch up and pass Trump in that time period. Or, you know, people always point out,
Well, let's be clear. We're talking really, we should be talking Iowa right now. And Iowa, it's basically a dead heat, like right now. They're in a dead heat.
Well, that's true. And although as you know, we had a little bit of a Twitter conversation about this while the debate was going on, Iowa, and in text too, so not all of it's on Twitter, but Iowa hasn't picked the winner in a long time.
No, agreed. But here's
the dynamics that you could see play out. Cruz wins Iowa. Trump wins New Hampshire. Rubio comes in maybe third or second or third in one of those, and so you have the three of them coming out of that, and then Cruz doesn't really have much support anywhere else, and Trump wins a couple more, and then you have or Cruz wins a couple more,
right?
And so that, you know, you could see one of those three then picking things up. Now Rubio seems to have sort of flatlined in the last week or so. So we may just be talking Trump and Cruz, which, you know, really those are the choices. But okay,
I remember we're still 40 days away.
Yes.
From the vote.
Yes.
Okay.
And the other thing that people keep saying about Trump, but also the people who tend to support Trump seem to be the kind of people who usually don't vote. You know, so are they really going to show up? You know, you could have the polls showing Trump with a big lead, you know, a week out, and then if they don't show, then somebody else wins anyway.
I mean, but look, what is the empirical data that shows that?
Because
what's you're saying these are the people that don't show up. I guess, for example, one of the things that we've seen in years past, for example, is that evangelicals, for example, were more reliably to show up in the polls. Okay. Yeah. All right. And vote for the candidates and that they would be supporting candidates. So are you saying that the voters that Trump is getting, they're not, you know, what is it that he's getting?
The evangelicals are more Cruz type.
Right.
It's lower education whites.
Okay.
and a few other.
Yeah, and I saw the polling on the education. It was very clear that he definitely trends towards more educated people.
And there were a few other things like that. But you know, here's my take on that: is that the people who are sort of counting on the fact that what will happen is that the Trump voters won't show up. Okay, maybe they won't. But if that's all you've got, you're screwed. You're in trouble, because the one thing I am seeing, and we talked about the comments on my website the other day, these Trump people are excited, and you know that doesn't mean everything. But
they're not excited. They're yelling.
They're yelling.
You know what? As I've seen in plenty of campaigns before. It doesn't really matter who the hell has the most stickers and fucking things out there.
I see that. But all I'm saying is don't underestimate these Trump people. Like, you may be right. They may all just flake out and not actually show up to vote congratulations.
I'm not saying that.
Some people are. Some people are like everybody who is like just. Of course Trump's going to fade. Of course Trump's going to fade. Of course something's going to happen. Okay, that might happen. But all I see is a lot of people engaging in wishful thinking where they're like, we don't understand this Trump thing, and it's got to go away because I just can't imagine that it won't.
I do understand one thing. Look, there's two factors to Trump. Number one, it's just the publicity. Number one, publicity hype. Okay, he's a master at that. But the second thing is his publicity circles around the fact that he's a winner, right? Okay.
Yes. And so if he starts losing,
here's the thing, right? If he loses, even though Iowa, as you've said before, is not critical, whatever, hasn't happened, blah, blah, blah. But here's the thing, right? You lose Iowa, right? And the man at every interview, all he talks about is how he's leading the polls, right?
Uh-huh.
What the fuck is he going to say after that? What's his new plan?
Well, he's going to say exactly what he did the last time he was behind in the polls, which those Iowa people are fucking stupid.
No. I'm saying after the vote happens and he loses.
No, what I know.
What say then?
He's going to say, Iowa people are stupid. New Hampshire, you're better than that. You will not make the same mistake as those idiot people in Iowa did.
I love the strategy. God, thanks.
You know, New Hampshire, you are not morons like those people in Iowa.
Well, I guess it's a plan, I guess, of some sort. Oh, boy. Well, here's the thing, right? We really have no visibility. I mean, beyond like the national polls and like Iowa. Anything else beyond that? I mean, there's very little polling. I mean, there's some, but
there's little polling beyond Iowa and New Hampshire. There's some in South Carolina.
Even New Hampshire is like sporadic. I mean,
but the reality is, once we get into it, you know, everything, you know, Iowa, New Hampshire. Okay. New Hampshire will be affected by what happens in Iowa. Anything past New Hampshire is going to be affected greatly by what happened in Iowa and New Hampshire. So,
correct.
And more people are going to drop out. There's going to be this. There's going to be that. There's going to be momentum. Everybody always talks about the momentum. And so any poll for any state after New Hampshire is bullshit. And of course, that affects the national as well, because guess what? The national polls, almost all of that polling is states that happen after New Hampshire. Which is why these things can change dramatically on a dime. But what I think you will see, though, is if Trump still has a really high lead in the national polls, even if he does kind of iffy in the first two states, he's sticking it out by a longer. And actually, the same kind of thing applies on the Democratic side. Because, for instance, we have... Sanders is actually ahead in New Hampshire right now of Clinton. You know, so Sanders wins New Hampshire. Is that going to stop Clinton from winning? No.
No.
You know? And so anyway, I think, you know, yes, that I mean, in my last percentage estimates that I tweeted after the debate, I still put Trump at 40% chance of the nomination. I'm going to stick with that for now. Yeah, which is still, there is a bigger chance that it is not him than it is him, but he's still got a better shot than
he's got the plurality of it. So yeah, let's talk about the things they said.
On my odds, real quick, before that, I am going to adjust slightly upward because when I tweeted after the debate, I had 40% Trump, 25% Cruz, 25% Rubio, 10% somebody else. I'm going to up Cruz a little bit there and do 40% Trump, 30% Cruz, 20% Rubio, 10% somebody else.
Okay.
So I'm lowering Rubio's chances a little bit and giving that to Cruz, because Cruz has some momentum right now and Rubio doesn't.
Yeah, Rubio's lost momentum lately. So let's talk about some of the nonsense that was discussed at their debate.
Yes.
Yeah. So Trump wants to shut down part of the internet.
Yes. And one of the things here, the way he said it in the debate was completely incoherent.
Really? You think?
Yeah. It sort of became clear after a while that what he was talking about was not like, let's shut down YouTube or something. More, it was like, let's cut off access to the internet for countries that are problematic. So, like, don't let people in Syria access the internet, for instance.
Okay, yeah, that sounds sexy. Okay, great, beautiful. All right, yeah.
It's still stupid.
Still stupid! Okay, this is why that debate was so moronic. Can I be honest? Listen, the idiocy that was, like, spewed on that stage, okay, was, like, beyond belief. What about the whole encryption nonsense that they were talking about, too?
Yeah, I think that was during one of the parts where I was distracted by other things at home. I know they were going back and forth, and Cruz and Rubio and Paul got into it a little bit, but
they kept blaming encryption for supposedly, like, the San Bernardino thing, saying that whatever. Which has had nothing
to do with it.
No, right.
Nothing
to okay. do with it. You know, and then we spent all this fucking debate over that attack. And I'm just like, you know, look, I know Trump got, you know, managed to suck the air out of the room.
Let's see.
By, you know, trying to bar Muslims and everybody, you know. I pulled up the stat. I think this is accurate. Okay, all right. I checked it the two different places. The fact that since 9/11, we've had 33 deaths in the U.S. from Islamic terrorism. Right? 33.
Uh-huh.
We've had 150,000 murders in that time period. 150,000. I wonder if we could find out what religious group it's more made up those murders that we could bar from the country. They're probably Christians.
Mm-hmm.
We could do that.
So
so that was more stupidity.
Let's see.
They spent how much? I mean, but it's ridiculous.
Here's some other specific things.
Yeah.
Trump was asked about the nuclear triad and clearly had no idea what it was.
No idea what it was either.
And just blustered about it. Cruz was asked several times about carpet bombing and would he carpet bomb.
Yes, I heard that.
And also obviously had no idea what the term meant, because he was talking about, you know, yes, we would carpet bomb them, but only the bad guys. So he was sort of talking about precision carpet bombing, which is precision like
carpet bombing.
The whole idea of carpet bombing is that you just mow down an entire city or whatever without concern for what's there.
Fuck, what an idiot.
We had
a bunch of buffoons.
We had an entire conversation that went on about, I even forget what the topic was at this point, too, about between.
I'm going to do some precision sledgehammering of your head, Sam.
Yes.
My next plan.
Exactly. Anyway, the two other candidates were having a long debate about something or other. And I apologize. I forget what the something or other was already. They were going back and forth about it, back and forth and back and forth about it. And then they went to Carson. And Carson started
out. Carson's like asleep.
Carson started out by saying, you know, finally you get to me. You haven't asked me about anything for a long time. And then they said, so what do you think about the debate these two guys have been having for the last 10 minutes?
Oh, I don't know.
And he's like, I have no opinion on that. You should ask somebody else. basically, which I read as he wasn't actually paying attention to what they were saying anyway.
Probably, was he playing on his phone? Did anybody look to note that he wasn't playing on his phone?
Anyway, the one thing that came across on this whole this debate was almost all foreign policy, defense, whatever kind of things.
And what it basically showed that almost everybody up there is an absolute moron.
Yeah, basically none of them have any substantial knowledge or background in these fields, with the possible exception of Jeb Bush. But he's not doing jack.
He's fucking toast.
Maybe Rubio in a couple areas said
right.
something.
Rubio said a couple of intelligent things.
Everybody else was just like, basically, their answer showed that they had no freaking clue what they were talking about. Now, right. The other thing is people were talking about, like, well, what do you do about ISIS? And that was a theme. Like, they were asking basically everybody, what would they do about ISIS? And the almost universal consensus when they actually mention they would do X, Y, or Z, everything they list is something Obama's already doing.
Right.
And the only difference that you can determine is that they're going to do exactly what Obama is doing, but maybe they're going to do it louder.
Yes. Yes. That's correct. Yes. That's right. They're going to just be louder. We need to be tough. We got to be tougher.
Yes.
Because that's how we're going to show, because that's what we need. We need toughness. Something along those lines, I understood.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I read a lot about it afterwards. I watched a short amount of it. The short amount, honestly, the level of stupidity just gave me a headache. Can I be blunt? I mean, I really did. I mean, it was disgusting. It was truly disgusting.
Well, and I follow a few people on Twitter who are, you know, first of all, there are some people who are, you know, pro-Trump or whatever. But I follow a few people on Twitter who are basically conservative, national security hawks, even people that I, for the most part, disagree with on a lot of their policy issues. And see them tweeting things like, you know, this whole debate makes me want to, like, blow my brains out.
Exactly. Even they can't stand it.
You know, because they're like, I can't believe these are our choices.
Exactly my point.
You know.
I mean, it's horrible. I mean, they showed no understanding of anything whatsoever. Or, like, even, I mean, it's just, I mean, it was painful, man.
I mean, honestly, like, bring back McCain. I disagree with McCain on all sorts of things, but at least he has some idea what's actually going on.
What the fuck is going on?
And also,
maybe I don't agree. Exactly. I don't agree with his plan of action, but he is not a clueless fuck.
And to be honest, like, there was also the undercard debate, and maybe you could say the same thing about somebody like Lindsey Graham, for instance. But, you know, he's at 0% in the goddamn polls.
0%? Hell. I mean, we could be up there with our poll numbers close to his.
Oh, I would pay to watch you and Trump go one-on-one.
You know what? I'm pretty sure that I could do a hell of a better job of responding to Trump than these morons could. I guarantee you that.
He's pretty good, Yvonne.
I'm sorry, but I'm not too bad myself at fucking snippy retorts. Like, for example, the whole thing about the wall the other day, I came up with, like, yeah, we're going to build the wall, whatever. I'm like, yeah, walls. I'm like, you know, my answer is like, yeah, you know, like Berlin walls. Yeah, those work really well, asshole. I mean, you tell me that's what you want. Symbols of oppression, big time put around, you know, since apparently you like these fucking walls. So let's just take the example of the communists and let's put up a fucking wall because that's what you want to look. But of course, they may throw me off the stage because they may have to bleep me way too many times.
So, going on those, the one thing that reminded me, Cruz, of course, said he would build the wall. He would have Trump build the wall for him. but
nonsense.
Anyway, but one of the interesting things, like, I expected, like, I think a lot of people expected going into this debate that you'd finally have Cruz and Trump face off a little bit, because over the last couple weeks, there was a little bit of tension growing there because there was audio leaked of stuff Cruz had said in private, diminishing Trump. And,
yep.
And now he had not said that kind of stuff in public, but this was a private audio that was leaked. And so Trump started like getting ready to attack Cruz. And then they got into this debate and nothing. They basically made peace with each other again.
Well, it seemed like really like more Rubio and Cruz were going at it.
Cruz were going at each other. Bush tried to go after Trump because it's like the last thing he's got. But you didn't have the materialization of the Trump versus Cruz battle, which means it's sort of like it has to happen at some point, you'd think. But
no, I'm guessing as it gets closer to a little bit further now. I mean, you know,
but Cruz is intentionally putting it off because everybody who's gone head to head against Trump has lost in that battle.
Right.
And so everybody's nervous about doing it. Two, Cruz's strategy very much is to people have been calling it draft behind Trump and be there to pick up Trump supporters when Trump does fall.
Well, I mean, I can see that. But I think that it's what you said. Look, taking him on head to head right now has not really paid off to anybody. The way that he's gotten his numbers up has not been by taking him on head to head. The numbers were falling Trump needs these high publicity events to get his numbers up. So he managed to take the San Bernardino thing and managed to get a real pop out of it. All right. Yes. With all his outrageous statements.
He is doing better now than he has at any point so far.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he really did. So my thing is that you've got to count on the fact that if you're Cruz, you're thinking, listen, we're still close and we're there. You got to pop from that, but it's probably not going to last. Okay, all right. Let's keep plugging away. What we've been doing right now is we've been getting the voters we want. We're raising money. Let's keep plugging away and let's avoid this head-to-head confrontation. You know, I think it makes a lot more sense than going.
It does make sense. They were being goaded into going after each other, and they both sort of decided against it.
Right.
So I think you'll see that truce last a little bit longer. It can't last forever. Only one person can win.
Right.
You know, like we said, though, you know, we could be setting up for a Trump Cruz ticket.
Oh, boy. I need more painkillers.
Two other things to mention about the debate or about election 2016, or two more about the debate. And then I do want to touch on the Democrats for just a second. Bush did go after Trump aggressively on a number of occasions. I saw a number of people sort of tweeting on like, go Bush, you're finally like doing what you need to do, blah, blah, blah. But I looked at every single one of those exchanges and I thought Trump won every single one of them. And again, not on substance, but substance doesn't fucking matter when you're going up against Trump. It's how do you end up looking like you got the better of the exchange? So like, you know, so for instance, Bush went after Trump. You're not going to win by insulting everybody. And Trump snaps back with, you know, I'm at
33%.
I'm at 33% at the polls. You're at 3%. I go away, basically.
Right. God. Well, all right. So, okay. What else did we?
Putin. On the debate. The other thing that came out of this is Trump, in terms clearer than anything he'd said previously, is saying he's definitely running as a Republican, not going to run third party. And it was in there were no caveats this time around. in terms of his statements. He tried to make it as clear as possible. Now, that still doesn't mean he can't change his mind if he feels like he gets screwed later, though.
Right.
But at the moment, he's saying, I'm not doing it, not doing it. Now, one of the factors that starts to come into play at this point is he's starting to actually register in states like Ohio for the primaries, and they're sore loser laws in some of these states where if you run in the primary, you cannot be on the general election ballot.
Ah, I see. Okay. Very interesting.
And so those are starting to come into play in some areas. Now, that there are ways around even that kind of stuff. Like you could have somebody else technically be running in Ohio that is pledged to that they will tell their electors to vote for Trump when it gets to the Electoral College.
Right.
There are all kinds of goofy things you could do. So but nevertheless, he made a very clear statement. But what got to me about that is when he was being asked about it, to me, what seemed clear was the reason he was saying that now is he, at this point, actually believes he's got this. He thinks he's got the nomination.
You think so?
I think he does. Now, whether he's right or not is an entirely different question.
No. What I'm saying is, do you think he believes it?
I think he believes it. I think he thinks that he's got this nomination, and that anything that keeps him from getting this would be, you know, it would be stolen from him in some way.
Yeah.
But I think he thinks he's got this.
Well.
There's
a lot of people that have thought that in campaigns before and wound up looking like idiots.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, you know, his supporters too. Like I've noticed, you know, I last week we talked about his the people commenting on electiongraphs.com. This week I actually said some, you know, it was the do not underestimate Trump stuff that I talked about on last week's show. And we got commenters basically saying, we've got to be vigilant, watch for election fraud. You know, they're going to steal this. They must be stopped. Trump's lawyers have to monitor everything, blah, blah, blah. You know, yes. The Trump people think that, you know, if it turns out he loses Iowa, they're going to be like, fraud!
Right.
You know? Anyway, so the final election stuff before we close out and do a quick lightning round, is notice also you haven't heard a damn fucking thing about the Democrats in months.
Well, why? Hillary's going to get the nomination.
No, I know. What? But she, you know, the thing is she's laying low. You know,
well, why wouldn't you? I'd be sipping Mai Tais by the.
Absolutely. That's the smart thing for her to do. She's keeping out of the limelight. She's letting the Republicans like implode. Right. And she'd be stupid to inject herself into any of this.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. 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 There's no doubt about it. That'd be right now. I'd book my hotel in Hawaii. I'd stay there for a couple of months. I'm like, the hell with this.
Now, however, there are a couple interesting things even there. Like And this is new. I haven't looked at anything. There is alerts going across my Twitter right now while we're recording this.
Saying that
Bernie Sanders' campaign is being investigated for accessing confidential Clinton data.
Whoa! Jesus.
Not like that's gonna, like, if anything, that's gonna hurt Sanders and help Clinton further, but still.
Right!
Like, you know,
I'm like, what the hell? Why would you people be doing this? You idiots. God.
Yes.
So you heard something called Watergate?
Yes. So, anyway.
DNC Sanders campaign improperly, here it is. Sanders campaign improperly assesses Clinton voter data. Oh, boy.
Yeah, so fun stuff there. You know, and of course, at the point we actually get the revelation that Bill Clinton actually did put Trump up to everything, that would, of course, blow things up. But
yes.
okay. Anyway, enough about the election. I think we're at the end of that. Let's take a quick break and then we'll
you go to the break. So I clicked on the story look at this whole thing about Sanders accessing this, and one of the first headlines on the side of other stories to read says, "Cheers, a punch and a slur. What it's like to be in the crowd at a Donald Trump rally."
Yes.
And at that, we can go to a break.
Yeah. We'll
be right back.
Because they keep beating up protesters and things.
Yes, they do. Isn't that great?
Okay, we'll be back after that. Alex, do you want to say something real quick? I'm on a break now before I start the next one. This is Sam from the future here. At this point, I let my son, Alex, who's 6 years old, talk for a few minutes about Minecraft Story Mode Episode 4, which he had just completed and was very excited to talk about. If you are not interested in hearing a six-year-old talk about a computer game for 5 minutes, just fast forward. Also, I should say, if you're worried about spoilers for Minecraft Story Mode Episode 4, this is full of spoilers. So, again, fast forward about 5 minutes. You'll skip all this, and then you'll move on to our lightning round. Here you go. Do-do-do. You want to say something real quick before I start the next segment?
Oh.
I only got a minute.
There is four things.
Four things.
The Witherstorm was killed.
The Witherstorm was killed.
The command block was broken.
The command block was broken. Don't turn this.
And that how was an enchanted diamond sword.
Okay. Don't turn that. Yes, an enchanted diamond sword. And what's the fourth thing?
Well, that was this how. Okay, and then there's two more things.
Two more things.
There was a new place.
A new place?
Well, five things. And then... And then there was a new Order of the Stone.
Oh, okay. Is it all the people who were the
which is us?
Yeah.
And now, and by the way, Reuben died.
Reuben died?
Yes.
Oh no.
Reuben fell down the pit and got hurt so bad because it was a baby pig and it was squeaking and then died.
I can't believe Reuben died.
Turned into a pork chop.
Oh, that's awful.
And you were okay.
Okay.
But not Reuben.
Not Reuben? That's so sad. I can't believe Reuben died.
Do you know why he died?
Maybe there are other choices you can make where Reuben won't die.
No! No, there isn't.
Okay.
Reuben didn't die because of choices. Reuben died because of everyone fell down the pit because inside the river storm because the Enderman broke a hole in the river storm, so you made a cannon to get you up there.
Okay.
And guess what?
What?
The old Order of the Stone was not real heroes.
They weren't real heroes.
They just used the command block.
Oh. So they cheated.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for telling me. I'll play through it myself later.
And guess what?
What?
There's a new town who says Reuben is dead.
Yeah?
That's Riddle.
Okay.
And guess what?
What?
It's not about the choices that Reuben dies. It's about killing the river storm. And there's no choice to not do that.
Okay.
So Reuben has to die in this story. Otherwise, the story won't work because how will there be room for Reuben in a really small town and all of the other towners?
Right.
How?
I don't know. It's really sad about Reuben. I'm sorry.
And Reuben fell down.
Reuben was my favorite.
And Reuben fell down a deep, 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 deep hole. And so is you, the same one. And Reuben died. And you did not.
Gotcha.
Strange, huh?
Yeah. Okay, thank you for telling me. I'm going to finish up here.
Ruben dies and you don't die.
Okay. Thank you for telling me. I'll talk to you again after I'm done with the podcast.
And since the River Storm is defeated, is it going to, you don't know if it's this episode 5 is going to be deleted or episode 5 is just being a normal counter or fighting another monster.
I guess we'll find out what episode 5 is about.
Or doing nothing and being lazy and building the city even bigger.
Maybe. Boring. Maybe. Okay, I'll talk to you later.
It didn't crash right at the end.
It crashed at the end?
Yes.
Sorry. Okay. Close the door on your way out. Okay. Here we go. Sorry, Vaughn. I knew he had to get that out. He's been...
That's okay.
My daughter's been holding him to keep him out of the room while we were finishing that last segment.
Okay. Well, he loves you. What are you going to tell you? Okay. No, it's not a bad thing. It's not the worst thing in the world.
Not at all. Okay, here we go. Okay, we are back. Time for a quick lightning round. A quick lightning round. So, I will go first.
Okay.
Star Wars.
It's a movie.
It's a movie. The new Star Wars. As we are recording this, the first showings have been going on all across the country and people are watching it for the first time. I am going to see it, but I'm not going to see it till the day after Christmas. So I've got a whole bunch of things trying to block for spoilers, but I know there's no way I'm going to avoid them completely if I'm waiting a week to see the damn thing.
I'm pretty sure I'm not going to see it until it comes out on video.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's not because maybe I don't want to. It's my wife doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's all I'm
and,
not gonna,
and your,
I'm not
and your son's
go.
Still a little young.
Right.
Yeah. I can see
yeah.
that. I can see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so I it's just yeah.
So anyway, I am excited for it. We've got tickets for the whole family for December 26th. You know, I thought about, like, would we want to see it opening weekend and all that? And I'm like, you know, it's going to be crazy.
It's going to be nuts.
It's going to be nuts. And if it was just me, if it was even just, like, me and my wife or me and my wife and my daughter, we would do opening weekend.
Well, like with the six-year-old and the thing. You know, and that's been a mess. Sam and I was remembering, like, I was telling my wife that you and I drove to Canada once to see opening day of Star Trek 6, Undiscovered Country.
Okay, I forgot which Star Trek it was.
It was Undiscovered Country. Yes. And, I almost got stopped by the police twice.
Yes.
The theater we wanted to go to, we couldn't really get into, so we had to wind up going to another theater, and that was the whole point of going to Canada.
Was
in the first
to go
place.
To, like, it was a really nice theater or something.
Right, and we couldn't get in, and so we wound up going to another theater, which was a nice theater, but we didn't really have to drive all the way to Toronto for that theater.
No.
And it almost get, like, really, I mean, you know, the first cop I flew by at over 100 miles an hour. And somehow, out of the grace of God, because that's the only reason they did not pull me over.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and so, yeah. So anyway.
Anyway, I'll probably eventually share some thoughts on Star Wars on the show, but it'll be a few weeks. Yeah. Okay. You got one?
Shit, I did. Where'd it go? Oh, man, I had it right here.
Okay, while you think about that.
Okay, yeah.
Budget deal.
Budget deal. Yes, we got a budget deal.
What happened? Do we care?
A whole bunch of the same trade-offs and bullshit that we've had. There was a lot of give and take. The one thing that pissed me off, I will admit, was that they had actually put some specific relief for Puerto Rico, because Puerto Rico's bankrupt, and in the last, near the end of the deal, it got taken out.
Is there anything else significant in the deal, or is it basically just a continuation of things before?
There was like some confirmation of certain tax breaks and certain stuff. I didn't really. There was some increases in spending. There was a whole bunch of compromises. I think what was significant is that there was a lot of compromising that we haven't had happen in a while.
Right.
That's about what I could say about it. So, it looks like, Ryan is being able to cut more deals and get stuff done that Bonner wanted to do, which I'm not sure. The thing is,
Although he's playing it as this was the continuation of the Bonner thing, so he doesn't have to, like, he's saying, I'm playing the hard cards I dealt, I won't do this again next time, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. So, anyway.
Okay, did you remember what your thing was?
This guy, you're, did you hear the news? There's this guy, this drug executive. Shkreli.
The pharma bro, the guy who tried to raise the prices on that AIDS drug a few months ago.
Right. Well, apparently he got arrested today on something completely unrelated. It was on securities fraud on a hedge fund that he used to work before. Now, this guy, I'm looking at this guy, he's 32. Okay.
Something. All right. He's young. Yeah.
He's very young. And I'm like, geez, this guy has like been watching The Wolf of Wall Street too much. There were some stories today about how the guy was spending millions on bullshit here and bullshit there or whatever. And it's just
he bought the only copy of a Wu-Tang Clan album.
That's right. That's correct. Yes.
Amongst other things. Yeah.
Amongst other things. Like stupid stuff like that. Paid $2 million for it.
And apparently the last week or so, he's been like live streaming his life on YouTube as he sits in front of his computer doing bullshit like for many hours a day. And somebody posted like a little clip of it of like him getting a call from like some FBI special agent yesterday, like a day before. And he hung up on him.
I wonder, did he have the camera on? Was he was getting freaking like the cuffs put on him and getting arrested?
No, I didn't see that. No,
but damn,
that would have been very nice.
That would have been awesome. Oh man.
Anyway, yeah, so a lot of people are doing the Schadenfreude thing about this. About the asshole getting what's coming to him. Again, it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't related directly to that other stuff. But
nothing to do at all with it. No. Apparently the guy's just an overall scumbag, period.
Yeah, there you go. And so, although, you got to wonder, though, even if it wasn't related directly, did the fact that he was doing this other stuff get him attention that led to an investigation that found other stuff?
It looks like the these investigations take a while. It seems like from I am guessing based on...
It was already going on.
It had been going on for a while.
Okay. So next up, there was a climate agreement.
Yes, there was.
Any thoughts on it?
Thoughts? I think it's a step forward, but like as most people say, this may be too little.
We talked about 2 weeks ago or whenever we talked about this, they came out of this, they agreed on some stuff. It's non-binding. What people have pointed out is it's non-binding. It's not enough that the scientists would be happy and say, oh, okay, this is really going to make a difference. But what the people who are counter that point of view say is, hey, it's very significant that we got 190 plus nations to agree on fucking anything.
Damn straight. That's what I thought too.
So like, okay, yes, it's not enough. Yes, it's not binding. But look, we actually agreed on something. That's a big fucking deal in and of itself.
That's what I thought.
They agreed that this is a priority. We should be thinking about it. Each country essentially codified the goals that they had set internally anyway, maybe slightly more aggressively. There's a reporting mechanism apparently being put in place by this. And so, like, at the very least, you can measure more what countries are or are not doing with regard to this. I stick with what I said before, that in the end, like, actually, reducing emissions in the short term to the level that the scientists say is necessary is probably a pipe dream given the political realities, and we should be spending more time on remediation and maybe geoengineering and things like that. And there actually was a decent bit about remediation here in terms of providing support to countries that were being negatively affected by climate change and stuff. So
So that was that deal. What about you heard about these hoverboards that explode?
Oh yeah, the hoverboards, which aren't really hoverboards.
I don't know why they call them a hoverboard.
Because it sounds cool and back to the future and all that. And what they really are is it's more like a Segway without the stick.
Right.
Attached and miniaturized and not quite as sophisticated. And apparently they catch fire a lot.
And apparently they catch fire. And, not for nothing, but the guy that owned the Segway company went and killed himself using one of those things. And that thing was a lot more engineered than these turkeys.
Yeah, I remember that. It was some sort of freak accident on his Segway.
He went into the Segway and said, went off a cliff.
Okay. Anyway, no, these things, apparently part of what's happened here is like somebody, the basic idea came about in an area that wasn't, fully protected by patents or anything like that. So just like all kinds of companies in China started building their own versions of this thing. And so there are hundreds of different ones. There's no like single brand name leader here. There's a lot of variation in quality control. There's a lot of variation on the specific details. And a lot of them are just shoddy as hell.
Yep, that's what it seems like.
There might be some that are decent, but you have to be very careful because it's hard to tell. And there are, Wirecutter, which is a site I trust for these. I saw they have like hoverboard recommendations where they've done some testing and stuff. But the bottom line is like, this is very immature stuff. And I don't mean like, haha, you're playing with a toy. I mean, it's new tech. It's relatively new stuff that has not been around very long. Not a lot of these things have a good history behind them. So you're basically taking a pot shot, in terms of if you get one of these things, are you getting a good one? Are you getting a bad one? Even if you're getting one from a good brand, is your particular one good? And I don't know. I mentioned Wirecutter. They say
I'm not planning on buying one. Let's put it to you that way.
Now, Wirecutter says if you are going to get a hoverboard right now, the one to get is the Swagway X1.
Well, that's great. Let them test theirs. I'm not getting out an exploding fucking board.
And I'm like, I don't know if... It's a toy. I mean, you're not going to use this to commute, really. Although I have seen people within my own office at work, there is one person, and if you're listening, hi, who gets around the office on a scooter. Like if he's going from his cubicle to a meeting room, he's going to ride a scooter there.
Yeah.
Okay. But most people are not going to do that. So this is something to play with. I don't know. There's like $400 for this Swagway one. I wouldn't even consider spending $400 on that thing. I just I don't see myself using it for anything, really. I don't know. Okay. Enough about the hoverboards. I got one more thing here, which is California released some proposed rules on self-driving cars.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you saw this, because this plays right into the debate you and I have had on it, because California's rules, and these are not, final rules for, like, commercial version.
I'd heard some of the debate around these, but I did not hear
basically, we're still far away from, here are the rules for ones that are actually going to be sold commercial to end users, blah, blah, blah. It's sort of like the next phase of testing. But they're insisting on actual licensed drivers behind the able to take control, has to have steering wheel, has to have actual things. And, of course, a lot of the companies who are developing these things, Google being number one, are fighting back hard, saying, no, like, if you require...
This
is exactly the kind of thing you predicted that would be rules in place.
Exactly.
But,
right.
But Google's argument, and I agree 100% with Google here, is if you require the damn things to have a steering wheel, if you require them to have any mechanism whatsoever for manual control, you're losing 80% of the value that you can potentially get out of these things. And so I think this is a critical battle that's going to play out over the next couple years. I cross my fingers and hope that the folks pushing for full autonomous vehicles, rather than you still have to have a driver that is paying attention, win. Your prediction, of course, is that they will not win. My prediction is that they will. We'll see how it plays out over the next few years.
Okay. All right. So apparently I'm winning the battle on this prediction.
Not yet, because these are just
proposed rules. Wait. The proposed rules right now say, so, like I said, at this point, I'm winning the battle at this point.
They're not real enacted rules yet. There's another year of debate. And even then, they're rules for the next phase of testing, not rules for commercialization. Our little bet on this had a 10-year time horizon. We got a lot of time for this to play.
We got a lot of time. Okay, all right. Well, I will say this. Look, we just recently traded my wife's truck for a truck that has some of these... some of the, they've added
lane
features
assist
to vehicles,
and these kinds of things.
It's got the lane assist, but it also does the active cruise control, which right. Basically, it will, regulate the speed like automatically, like dependent, and like come to a complete stop without you actually doing anything. Just, it will trail the vehicle in front and just come to a full stop. And that's that. I've used that. It's actually, to be honest, I mean, it's at first it's a little bit unnerving. Okay. All of a sudden the car just, whoa, like what the hell, slow down. I mean, what the hell? But it's very nice to have. I will say that.
Well, so. And I'll say that the one thing, the biggest argument to me against these, like, it's going to do most of it, but you have to have a driver paying attention, is proven by like these idiots with the Tesla automatic mode, where Tesla came out right and said, flat out, this is not full automated driving. You have to pay the fuck attention. And you have all these yahoos going, ah, ha, ha, let's put it on auto and see what happens. And getting in accidents or near accidents or whatever. Because, fundamentally, like if you're... The worst possible scenario is where it covers it 99% of the time, and 1% of the time it suddenly needs you, and you have to already be paying attention because you're not going to.
I think what you're not realizing is that cars over the last 20 years have been doing precisely that for the last 20 years. Is one of the reasons why you have less accidents on the road.
No.
Traction control, ABS brakes, that.
Those are all things that act all the time to protect you. They're not the thing that I'm right. saying is bad is the thing that is acting most of the time, but every once in a while says, oh shit, the driver has to pay attention now. Because
but I don't think that and that's not good automation. What I see is that it's
I think they're going to demand that you're there just simply because they're going to make the technology that, it, yes, it will drive by itself. It can do that, but you're still, like, actually telling the fucking car what to do and, like, see it at some point. At least in the at least inside that time span. I do agree that eventually it will go all autonomous, but
yeah, the only thing
it's just a time frame.
The only thing we disagree on is the time frame, because I agree with you. There probably will be an interim period where they do require, you know, the kinds of things you're talking about. I just believe that that's got to be short, because I can see that in the testing phase. I can see that certain companies will certainly want to offer these hybrid things that can do both manual and automated. But the real value to the technology only materializes once you don't have a driver at all. Once you just get in, tell the thing where you want to go, and then it takes care of everything.
Well, all right. So, anything else? Are we done?
That's it. Scalia made some comments that got him in trouble on racial issues, but whatever. I think we're done.
Okay, here's a cover story on the Times. Bush assessing momentum assails Trump? What? What momentum?
He got some positive press out of attacking Trump. Like I said when we talked about that, like some people were like, yay, Bush is finally doing what he needs to do. I'm like,
well, I actually, right now, what the fuck's he got to lose? I'd go full kamikaze. I mean, what the hell? It works for Trump.
Right. No, and maybe he can turn himself around. My gut feeling is each time he went after Trump, I thought Bush lost the exchange. So I don't think it was working for him.
So apparently some people disagree.
Some people thought Bush got the best of it. But you know who thought that? People who like Bush.
But apparently, look, if you look at the, okay, I was looking at the net favorables. Bush has seemed more favorable even still than freaking Trump.
I mean, it's a fat lot of good it's doing it.
Well, I agreed, but what I'm saying about that is that, I mean, if he could get those guys excited, maybe somehow, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, like we keep saying, you know, there are 40 days till the first voting. A lot of stuff can still happen.
40 days.
You know, maybe we'll have the Bush resurgence and
maybe we'll have a sex scandal.
Bush wins Iowa and New Hampshire and runs away with the whole damn thing.
Maybe we'll have the Trump.
I just don't see it though.
Trump sex scandal, but that probably will increase his popularity.
That would help him.
Yeah, that would help him.
Like people were talking today. I was seeing on Twitter while we were on this, people talking about, well, what could possibly actually burst Trump's bubble at this point? What could hurt him? And like, you know, because like we just had Vladimir Putin endorse him. Trump came back and said, thank you, Mr. Putin. I really respect you, or something like that.
Like, ow!
And of course, his followers are eating it up and defending him and saying, you know, but whatever. And so, like, so, some people have tried to do polling on what could actually hurt Trump.
So try to figure out.
And so they're coming up with things like, well, maybe if he converts to Islam. Somebody else said, well, you know, if he came out as gay, that might actually hurt him amongst the people that are supporting him.
Well, amongst the people that are supporting him,
are supporting him. Somebody else said, what if it turned out he was black? You know, but that's the kind of thing people
or
are
maybe you find out when he's born in Kenya.
Yes, that's it. Because... and again, this is amongst the people who are supporting him that, you know, these things, but like, no, nobody's coming up with a damn thing that says like, you know, yeah, you can talk about his potential ceiling or whatever, but out of the people who already clearly love him, what would he have to do? What would have to come out of him to make them actually abandon him?
Maybe he comes out and shoots a dog live on television.
I don't know. I don't know. They'd be
would
like,
that, would that hurt him?
I don't think so.
God, a puppy?
I don't think so.
What if he throws a baby to the ground?
Okay, maybe.
Maybe that will be a negative. He spits on a baby.
So, somebody else suggested, actually, another thing that could, like, sink him is he comes out and says, actually, I think Obama's been doing a pretty good job.
There you go. That's another one.
You know, but... yeah.
I'm sticking with the little spit on a baby.
Spit on a baby.
Yep.
Or spike the baby like a football.
Yep.
Yeah, see, I don't think he's going to do those things.
You don't think he's going to do those?
See, that's the thing with all these arguments of all these people saying Trump's going away. Trump can't possibly win. It's just not going to happen. Is like, okay, show me the mechanism. And there are all kinds of things that could happen. But so far, nobody's getting any traction. Nobody's doing anything. He's just gliding along.
I think he, you know, and of course we went back to
we were trying to wrap up, but
I think the one thing, the only thing that I think that really would do it is fatigue. I really do. That's one that
people
really
just get tired of the show.
Yeah, people just get tired of the show because people do get tired of the show. They do, you know. I mean, that's been the Americans. That's the fucking part of their life.
I'll tell you, like, if you're waiting for people to get tired of this show,
I don't know if it happens quickly, but well,
that's the thing, you know. I think if you're waiting for people to get tired of the show, you're waiting till halfway through the Trump presidency.
No, I think that you're way exaggerating on that, because I will tell you, because I will tell you this. I'm thinking about Ross Perot, for example, or I don't know if you recall, he was a great show for a while, and people at some point all of a sudden got tired of the show. They did.
Well, yeah, but if you remember, Ross, they got tired of the show after Ross Perot spiked himself. Like, and maybe Trump will do the same damn thing, but Ross Perot, like, was going strong until he suddenly said, I'm dropping out of the race because the Republicans are going after my daughter's wedding. And then he dropped out of public view for a couple months and then decided to come back.
What if Well, there you go. That's a possibility. That's not a crazy possibility.
You know,
given president.
Trump could do anything, yes.
Exactly. You know, I mean, look at all the shit he's done. Really? Is that out of the realm of possibility?
No. You're right. You could see Trump saying one day, you know, fuck this shit. I'm bored. I'm out.
This just takes too much of my time. I need to go back running Trump Tower. I mean, I'm sorry. Everybody's like, what?
You know, if he's going to do that, the best time to do it is like a couple days before Iowa. A couple days before Iowa, he's like, ah, never mind.
Ah, you know.
No, like I've said before, actually the best time to do it is at the convention after he's won.
Well, he invites Bill Clinton up on stage.
Says, my buddy Bill!
Hey! You know,
how do you like me now?
All right, guys. We're so done.
Thank you very much for joining us as usual. Go to our Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. We're at Curmudgeon's Corner on Facebook. Comment there. Let us know your thoughts on things. And you can find us on Twitter, too. I'm at Abelsmay. Yvonne is at I Am Bo. Look for my election stuff at electiongraphs.com. And we'll talk to you all next week. Have a great time. And until then, goodbye.
Bye.
Later, Yvonne.